nights through this psalm. We did Psalm 25 for 3 weeks and then got into Psalm 81. And if you were here last Wednesday evening, we actually really didn't do a whole lot of anything in Psalm 81. We gave an introduction to the psalm and understood that this particular psalm is a psalm that was associated with the Feast of Tabernacles. And so for us to have a greater understanding of this psalm as we would study through it, I thought it necessary to go back and to study in the book of Leviticus and reference some stuff over in the book of Exodus as well with regard to the Feast of the Tabernacles. We also went over the New Testament and saw the Lord Jesus Christ in John 7 there and so on and so forth, and introductory lessons so that we could gather some understanding of this particular psalm. So this evening, we'll begin looking at the psalm, looking at the first three verses this evening. Maybe you've heard it said, it's been said often, that the book of Psalms being referred to as Israel's songbook. And certainly there's truth to that. Indeed, even still today, there are particular psalms or parts of psalms that we still sing today. We probably don't sing it the same way that they did. Sometimes we look at it and someone's put it to music and we'll sing it. And some of you know some of the psalms that we'll sing. Psalm 48, great is the Lord. Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect. And there's several of them. Just a couple of them quickly, but we know that this book has often been referred to as Israel's songbook. And I'm thankful for the ministry of music and for the gift of music. I would say this, that music is a gift from God to humanity. And we are, as humans, we are musical people, and music ministers to the heart. And as we begin looking at this particular psalm in these first three verses, we see this aspect of singing. Notice it says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel and pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, the time appointed on our solemn feast day." As we look at these three verses, I've simply entitled the message for this evening as we get into Psalm 81, Praise with Song. And music, as I mentioned already, is a gift from God to humanity. It's a means by which we are able to praise the Lord. You think about the ministry of music, the purpose of music for us as we begin to look at the content of Psalm 81 and even thinking about the within the context of church and as believers, the ministry of music. And I would say that music is part of life and culture. And you can go all around the world and you can find music. It's very interesting. In fact, I would say this, I love music. But you know something interesting, and you might be able to say the same thing. I love music today, but I loved music before I got saved. It was a different kind of music, but I loved music. And the reality is that when I got saved, my music changed, but we are musical beings. Music has great power. The ability of those that are writing songs to send forth a message, not only through the lyrics of the songs, but also, of course, through the beat of the song, et cetera, et cetera. And so we see some of those things. I'm not going to dive into all of that this evening, but we understand that we're musical beings. Think about children. I mean, just little kids in a nursery. You start singing songs, and they respond to that. They are drawn to that. Why? Because of this music. Why is it that so many of these videos and things that are so prevalent today with regard to children and the music that is there, and just it's obvious that music is part of our nature as human beings. I think about this, and we'll be in Psalm 81, but look over at Psalm 40, if you will. And I want you to notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 40, and we see a very important truth because we speak about being musical people, and I shared with you already that I loved music before I got saved, but my music has changed. And notice in Psalm 40, in verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. But notice in verse number 3, and He hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I would say this, and you'd have to answer for yourself, but I would say that the music that I loved before I got saved was not music that was praise to God. It wasn't. But it was music that I liked, that I enjoyed. But after I got saved, God put a new song in my mouth, and God changed that aspect, and I love music. I don't always sing on tune. We joke about it sometimes, about which key I'm going to be in and what happens when there's a key change. And I remember distinctly one time a few years ago when we had a choir, and I was singing in the choir, and they decided that it needed to be in a different key. And Miss Kimberly left this piano to go over here to this one so that it would transpose and put it in a different key. And so I asked for new music. And Pierre looked at me like, what do you mean you need new music? I was like, well, if it's in a new key, I got to have to, because this music is in that key. And I don't understand all everything about music, but I love music. God's put a song in our heart. And you notice in Psalm 81 that music is how this psalm begins. We mentioned last week about the Feast of Tabernacles and the aspect of praise and what they would do and how they were rejoicing for the harvest and what have you. And you see where the scriptures begin in this psalm with this emphasis upon singing. Music is to praise God. It's to minister to our hearts. It's not to entertain. That's not the purpose of music. We find that when we have special music in church, when we sing hymns and so on and so forth, and we speak about church music, there are times in which people will give a hearty amen to a song maybe that's being done with a special music, that sort of thing. Maybe, as it happened, I think, 2 weeks ago, there were several people that clapped at the end of a song, but that's not the purpose. It's not entertainment. It's ministering. It's ministering to our hearts. There are times, I think it was even this past week, that we put the words to the song up on the screen. Why? So that you can see the words, you can read the words as the song is being sung. Why? So that it can minister to you, so that it can minister to me. And what a blessing to think about the ministry of music. As we begin to look in Psalm 81 and we learn some things about music, we notice that there are some truths here that God gives us that are important. The first thing that we recognize is answering this question, to whom do we sing? We find very plainly in verse number 1, the Bible says, sing aloud unto God. Sing aloud unto God our strength. And it continues, and make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. They were singing to God. By the way, we have someone and we have something to sing about. Amen? Aren't you thankful when you sing a song about praising the Lord, living for Jesus? We just sang it this evening. What a great hymn that reminds us of what He did for us and how we're to live for Him. And as we sing the song, we're not just filling time. We're not just trying to, we have to have this service schedule and it has to be this way and you have to include this number of songs. No, it's ministering to us. The song service is part of worship. Amen? The song service is not intended to be the time in which we're mingling and talking and doing this and checking this. And no, it's a time in which we're singing and we're praising God. And we're not only praising God, but through the song, as God would minister to our hearts and prepare us for the message that would follow. We find that here the Bible makes it very plain that we are singing unto God. The psalmist is not giving instruction with regard to those that would be gathered, that you're singing to them as being your primary audience. And yes, when somebody sings here, there's an audience, the congregation, but we're singing to God. And when you're singing to God, it makes all the difference. And we find this evening that he makes it very plain that that God is our strength. And he says at the end of verse number 1, unto the God of Jacob. And we understand, as we mentioned last week, this being a psalm that would be relevant and associated with the Feast of Tabernacles and the emphasis there with being unto the God of Jacob. Jacob, of course, becoming Israel, and so on and so forth. But we find this evening that when we sing, we learn some truth from Psalm 81, that we're singing to God. Then we find not only who do we sing to, but how are we to sing? Notice in verse number 1, sing aloud. Sing aloud. It then says this, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Now those two phrases, sing aloud, make a joyful noise, are very interesting. They really carry out the idea to sing out, to shout. That's what it means. Listen, God's given us a song. God's given us, we read Psalm 40. Think about what He did for us and how He delivered us and how He established our goings. And He's given us a reason to sing. He's put a song in my mouth, in my heart. And we find this evening that we're to sing out. We're to not be shy about singing. I like a church that sings out. I feel like our church sings out. And I like that. I think part of that has to do, obviously, with the personality of the leadership. I think specifically the fact that Dean is a very energetic song leader. I think that helps a whole lot with congregational singing. And I appreciate the manner in which Dean will lead congregational singing. Why? Because he wants to get us involved. He wants to get us singing unto the Lord and singing out. There have been times that I visited churches for revival meetings, missions conferences, and I get into a church that has 300, 400, 500 people, and I sit there with my family, and we're going to stand up and sing, and I begin to sing, and all of a sudden I find out within about one measure that I'm the loudest person in the entire section in which we're singing, or sitting, excuse me, and I realize I got to dial it back. I got to tone it down. And I'm not being condemning. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just simply saying, we got something to sing about. Amen? You think about somebody when they're talking. You ever hear someone talk and they're just talking real soft? Listen, if you got something to say, say it. Like, come on, I want to hear you. And we sing out. Sing aloud unto God, our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. And that phrase, a joyful noise, often throughout the Scriptures is literally translated to shout. To shout. I'm thankful that we have someone and something to sing about. You think about singing Jesus Saves. Isn't that a wonderful song? Think about singing Jesus is a wonderful Savior to me. I mean, listen, you begin to sing that and you're rejoicing and you're singing out. Why? Because the truth of that song is not only bringing glory to God as we're singing to Him, but it's just ministering to our hearts, the ministry of music. Look over at Psalm 100, if you will, just a few pages over. And it's a psalm also that deals much with the idea of music. And of course, of giving thanks. And I mentioned by way of introduction that music is a means by which we praise the Lord. And we find here in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. If God tells us in His Word, this makes this emphasis and helps us to understand music. I believe tonight when it says here, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing, God wants to hear us sing. Amen? God wants to hear you sing. You say, well, I don't sing so well. You're singing to God. Amen? And I understand those that are more musical, I don't want to be too silly about it, but man, we're singing unto God. And I understand the aspect of singing well and the musical aspect on tune and so on and so forth. You know, I love it when these kids get up here and they just sing out. Doesn't it bless your heart? And think about little Zachary, and little Zachary is getting older. But I mean, Zachary, man, he sings out, and I love it. And here's what, when I go and I preach chapel at Christian schools, and oftentimes when I've preached chapel at Christian schools, they have you do both in one day. You preach the elementary chapel, and then you got about a 15-minute break, and you preach the senior high chapel, and it's amazing. And those of you that have ever been in a Christian school setting, the little elementary school kids that are singing in chapel, man, they are singing. And all of a sudden you get to the to the senior high, junior high chapel, and you're singing, they're like, you can't, there's twice as many of them and you can't hear them. So you know what I started to tell the elementary kids? Don't lose it in 5 years when you're up there. Keep singing to God. But all of a sudden, they get so concerned about what somebody else is hearing, or I don't this. We're singing to God. Psalm 100, listen, God inhabits the praises of His people. He likes it. He wants us to enter into His presence with singing. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. Don't you believe that, the truth of verse number 5? The Lord is good. He's good all the time. His mercy is everlasting. His truth does endure. And we're going to praise Him, and we're going to praise Him with song. We find that in Psalm 81, not only does God teach us in verse number 1 how we're to sing and to whom we're to sing, but we find that God in verse 2 and 3 provides us with the use of instruments. And by the way, I'm thankful for those that play instruments in our church on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And they're typically in other places on Wednesday evening, and so we don't have them playing in here. But on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, when they're playing their instruments, man, it blesses my heart. There have been times when Tim has been here but not able to play his trumpet. And I say, not playing the trumpet today? My lip, this, whatever. And I'm like, man, and I miss it. Why? Because I'm standing right here when we're singing and he's blowing the trumpet right at me. Amen? And I love it. The stringed instruments, isn't it beautiful? It adds something to the music. I'm thankful for the piano. Aren't you thankful that we have piano players? I can't play the piano. You might be sitting there saying, I can't play the piano, but God has blessed us with piano players. We have several in our church, and we are so thankful for each of them. Why? Do you know what it's like when you're singing a cappella? Do you know how many churches don't have piano players? Man, we're so blessed. Look at what he talks about with regard to the instruments in verse number 2. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. Listen, when they would sing, the nation of Israel, very musical. You think about all that they did with regard to the tabernacle, then the temple, and all of the setting up with regard to the music and the ministry of music. And here the instruments are included in verses 2 and 3. But remember Psalm 150. In fact, turn there. And when you look in Psalm 150, you'll see additional information given to us about the use of instruments. And we note the use of instruments in Psalm 150. In verse number 1, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Notice in verse 3, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the psaltery and harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. God wants to hear us sing. God, I mentioned already, inhabits the praises of His people. I believe as God would give music to His people, we understand that Lucifer, fallen, he was extremely musical. If you look in the Scriptures, you understand that. And I believe that one of the things that he has done is to corrupt music. And so we find this evening that God wants us to sing, and He wants us to sing praise to His name, and we can praise Him through song. Listen, think about this. When we talk about God wants to hear us sing, when we introduce Psalm 81 and we see the way that this psalm begins and the aspect of it being associated with the Feast of Tabernacles, to sing aloud unto God our strength, to make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. We see this emphasis that's placed upon singing, and God wants His people to be singing. He wants us to sing today. Can I remind you of Paul and Silas? Acts 16 and verse 25, it says this, They sang praises unto God. Amen? Who do we sing to? Well, sing aloud unto God, our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. And it tells us in Acts 16 and verse 25 that Paul and Silas sang praises unto God. But then it says this, and the prisoners heard them. And the prisoners heard them. So you know how they were singing? They were singing aloud. Amen? Because the prisoner, where were they put? In the inner prison, right? Is that what the Bible tells us in Acts 16? They're put in the inner prison. But at midnight, they're singing praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. By the way, at midnight, what are most people doing? I like to be sleeping at midnight. I know some of you do not, but I like to sleep at midnight. Amen? They were singing, and they were singing loud because the prisoners heard them. It's not this all mellow kind of, Jesus is all the world to me. No, man, we're singing out. Think about this, Ephesians 5. We talk about the ministry of music for us today. Ephesians chapter number 5. We'll look at a passage in Ephesians, a passage in Colossians, as we see where this psalm begins with this emphasis on music and this fact that we're to praise with song. And this evening, I'm thankful that God saved me and that God put a new song in my mouth. And I'm thankful today that my music is not the same music that I used to listen to. And I want to listen to music that reminds me of how great my God is. I want to listen to music that challenges me in my walk with God. And when I have, if you were to sit in my office with me and you were to listen to some of the songs that I listen to, they're songs that are doing exactly what I just said. They're reminding me of how wonderful my God is and what He's done for me. And it's just encouraging me and it's ministering to me and it's strengthening me and it's just provoking me to go and to live for Jesus. Ephesians 5. The Bible says this in verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, it's always interesting to me that many times people say, I'm filled with the Spirit, but the Bible gives us really evidences of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Now, we understand that we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Being indwelled by the Spirit is what happens at the moment of salvation. When I get saved, when you got saved, or when I got saved and when you got saved, when we trusted Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit of God indwelled us. But the idea of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God is something that changes. Why? Because we change. We're filled with self, and we need to be emptied of self. And just because I'm filled with the Spirit today doesn't mean I'm going to be filled with the Spirit tomorrow. Just because I'm filled with the Spirit at 7:30 doesn't mean I'm going to be filled with the Spirit at 8 o'clock, right? Is that you're tracking. And so we find that he says, but be filled with the Spirit. And here's some of the evidence. Just like when you look at Galatians, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit is, don't say that you're walking in the Spirit, but there's no love, joy, peace, long-suffering. No, that's the evidence. And here the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. And notice what it says, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes you might want to say, does it really have to say always? Does it really have to say all things? Yes. Because God is good all the time. Amen? And He's worthy of our praise. We don't praise Him because our circumstances are good all the time. We praise Him because He's good all the time. And it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so we find that in the context in which the Apostle Paul is encouraging the believers in Ephesus, he's already established in the first three chapters the fact that they're saved and their position is secure, is saved people. But now, as he gets into chapter 4 and following, he's dealing with that practical aspect of what does it mean now that you're a Christian? How do you live? How do you walk? The word walk is used repeatedly in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 because we're to walk a certain way because we've been saved. And so when he talks about being filled with the Spirit, he lists these evidences and he lists what is this going to look like. And it's interesting that verse 19 immediately starts dealing with this subject of singing, of music. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to who? To the Lord. To the Lord. And what a blessing it is to be able to praise God through song. You know, just to be able to have God remind you of a song and just allow it to minister to your heart as you go through maybe a time of difficulty, as you go through whatever it is that you're facing, and you're just, man, God just ministers through song. I've mentioned this before, and I think that it's essential to understand, and I don't claim to be a music scholar in any way, shape, or form. There's much that I do not know about music, and I readily admit that. But I do understand that we're all different people, and that when you start talking about right music, wrong music, that there's really an idea of being able to look at a spectrum, if you will. And so there's right music that might not be your style of music. Does that make sense tonight? It's not that it's wicked music. It's still good music. It's still God-honoring music, but it may not be the exact style that you like. In fact, if you were to think about some of even some folks that have had the opportunity to sing in our church, I think about when we had Pierre and Michael and Joseph and Tim, I think, sang that four-men quartet. It was that style of that was different than when some people sing just a solo. But it doesn't mean that one's right and one's wrong. It's a different style. I think they're both right. Again, if you could think about it linearly, like a spectrum, and there's a section that, yes, this is bad, wrong music, this is bad, wrong music, but there's this area that's going to be, this is really my style of music. This is really my style of music. I'm sure you've heard, I remember hearing it years ago, of people comparing different Bible colleges and their style of music. And that style of music from that Bible college is different than the style of music from this Bible college. Are they saying that one's right and one's wrong? Well, some do go that far to say that. I think if you go to some places, not only in the U.S., but even if you go to some places around the world, you're going to find slightly different style of music, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong music. It still can be God-honoring, Christ-honoring music. In fact, I think I've been to Israel. I know some of you have. The style of music in Israel is different than the style of music that we have here in America. It just is. It's just different style of music. The style of music in Kentucky, I'm not a bluegrass fan. Never was, right? But you understand, there's just a different style. And I would not say that just because the style isn't what you say is your style, it doesn't mean it's wrong. There are some things that you can look to be able to determine if something's right or wrong, and there are tests that we can put forth, but we must be mindful of the fact that there's going to be within this spectrum, if you will, that, okay, that's the style that I really like, but that's maybe a style that I don't like. And it's important that we understand that there's an aspect of grace with that. And there are lines in which you can go outside one side or the other and it cross the line and be, okay, this is not appropriate music. Yeah, but the words, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Again, when you start getting into melody and harmony and all that sort of thing, I get kind of like I'm checked out, it's beyond my ability. But there's certainly an aspect that you can't just say, well, just listen to the words. The words have to be appropriate, but there's other aspects of the music that have to be appropriate as well. And so we have to understand that, but we also have to have a measure of grace with that. And then look over at Colossians 3, if you will. We look at Colossians 3, and notice what the Bible teaches us here as we continue to understand this aspect of praise God with song, and how they were given the responsibility in the opening verses of Psalm 81 to sing aloud unto God our strength, to make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Here in Colossians 3, as we find another local church being given instruction with regard to church life and behavior and so on and so forth, we find that in verse number 16, the Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Notice what the Bible says, "teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." It's interesting as we look at verse 16 and 17 here within the context of this understanding of singing. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." But then as it continues, it says, "teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." You know, our songs, according to verse number 16, are to teach and admonish. The word admonish means to warn. Now think about songs. In fact, I asked this question on Sunday evening as we began the preaching time on Sunday evening. We finished up, the last hymn that we sang was "Yesterday, Today, and Forever." And I asked the question, what's the theological word that we use to describe what we just sang about? And Brother Mark said, immutable. And that's true. We talk about the fact that God is immutable. He never changes. So guess what? We're singing a song, yesterday, today, and forever. We're singing a song that's teaching biblical truth. And what a joy to have a hymnal, to have spiritual songs that are reinforcing the same teaching that you would get from the Bible. I'm not sure about you, but I know for me that when we sing songs, oftentimes I'm thinking about passages of Scripture that are relatable to the particular psalm that we sing. You're singing a song, a hymn, "Who is on the Lord's side?" I'm not sure what you think about when we're singing that song, but I'm thinking about Moses. Amen? Why? Because Moses says, he draws a line in the sand and said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" It's very interesting when you sing the hymns, when we sing through our hymnal, when you have the opportunity to be able to say, I wonder what the songwriter was reading in God's Word when God prompted them, led them to write the particular song that they wrote. What was going on in their life? What were the circumstances that they were facing? What are the Bible truths that God was encouraging them with as they wrote that song? And it's interesting, when you begin to think that way, you're able to relate to various passages of Scripture, and it's exciting. I love singing, "Whosoever will may come." Right? I mean, what a joy. We sing that song. I remember there's been a time when I've had the opportunity to be in a place where that song was being led and being, it was a congregational song, and so the congregation singing it, and there was somebody that was of a persuasion that it wasn't "Whosoever will." And it was just kind of comical to begin seeing how that they're singing "Whosoever will," but they don't believe it. But we believe, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Aren't you thankful? When you start singing about the fact that you're going to see Him face to face, what does that do for you? Does it encourage you? Does it like cause you to think about, man, one day I'm going to say, this isn't just a song that we just go through some motions and just, no, we're going to, it's a reality. I'm going to see my Savior face to face. What a day that will be. Amen? You start singing these songs, you start thinking about the way that songs minister to us, and what are they to do? They're to teach us, they're to admonish us, to warn us, and we find that here, within the context of Colossians 3, yes, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, but then he says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How many of you ever tried to memorize a verse before, and it was so much easier when you put the verse to some kind of song, right? You put it to a little song. When our children were at Heritage Baptist Church, they were or Heritage Christian School. They were part of the ODAX Bible Quiz team, and they had to memorize three chapters in the Book of Romans. Joseph and Brianna, they had to memorize three chapters in the book of Romans because that was what they were doing for the Bible quiz. And so each of the kids on the team had certain chapters that they were to memorize, and they were the ones that were supposed to be the experts on that chapter because they memorized it. And I remember they had to memorize Romans chapter number 1. Now, if you've ever read Romans chapter number 1, near the end of the chapter, it gets all kinds of crazy with all the stuff that's going on. And Holly put some kind of song to that thing. She just made it up, just made up a song just with those words. And you know that Joseph and Brianna, I think they were in third grade and fifth grade, and they were able to remember. And I think if I called Joseph over here right now and said, hey, can you sing that song with those words from Romans chapter 1? He would be able to do it. It's amazing how our minds work. And so you get that song. We were working on a memory verse last year with one of our memory verses for the month. And as we were going through them last year, it was like, okay, is there a song that goes with any of these verses? And there was one that I wasn't familiar with, but Kimberly and Natalie sang it over in the fellowship hall, and they would sing it, and we would learn it. And guess what? It helped me to memorize that verse a whole lot easier. Why? Because it was with song. And it's interesting as we think about the way that God has used the ministry of music. Yes, it's been corrupted by the enemy, but we that have been saved by the grace of God, God has given to us a new song, and I'm thankful for this gift of music, and I want the music that I sing, I want the music that I listen to, I want the music in our church to glorify God and to teach me, to minister to me. I want to be reminded of biblical truth when I'm singing songs. I'm be reminded of how great my God is when I'm singing songs. When you begin to think about how he is able to deliver thee, and you sing that song and you're going through some difficulty and trial, and oh, how that song will minister to you. And it's interesting. I always find it interesting as we take the opportunity at different times during our calendar year to take for people to give testimonies and to share favorites. What's your favorite hymn? And we'll sing a verse of that favorite hymn. And it's really amazing to me to see how God uses songs in people's lives to minister to them. Sometimes the song that you might say is your favorite this week or this month or this year, there might be a situation that you face, a different season in life, and God will use a different song that will become your favorite at that moment. Why? Because you deal with different things, and so do I, and God uses those songs. How often is it that many times in a congregation the size of ours that you'll have people that will pick the same song as their favorite? I can almost guarantee every time that we take favorites that there's going to be a certain number of songs that will be included. Great is thy faithfulness. It's one that's like, somebody's going to pick it. It is well with my soul. Somebody's going to pick it. Amazing Grace, Brother Don is going to pick it. Amen? How many of you know that that's his favorite song? Listen, he said, Pastor, when I have my funeral, I already know we're singing Amazing Grace. We're going to sing it 47 times. I got it. I understand, right? Why? It's his favorite song. Because God uses songs to minister to us. But we're to sing unto God, and it's a form of worship. We're to sing aloud. God's put a song in our heart and our mouth, and we need to sing praise to him. Remember, Paul and Silas, they sang unto God, and the prisoners heard them. What an opportunity for them to be able to sing to their God in a very difficult circumstance to be ministered to, but also to have an impact on others. Praise with song. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to gather. And Lord, we thank you for the ministry of music, the gift of music. And God, I pray that you would help us to sing aloud unto our God, who is our strength, Lord, unto thee. Lord, help us to praise you, to make a joyful noise. Lord, help us to have right music, have music that teaches us, that admonishes us, that reminds us and reinforces to us Bible truth. We thank you that we can pray together as a church family. We thank you that you're a God who hears and answers. And I pray for these next moments, Lord, that you'd have your will and way. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Fernando.